Welcome again. It is the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We are joined today by Jason Duda, comprising the three-man booth here on a Wednesday edition. Jeff Lutz here as well. Andrew Fry back in the studio. Just a couple more days after today for Andrew.
Uh-oh.
We're going to miss him.
Did he get fired?
Max will be back.
Oh.
You knew that.
Even worse.
Lost just one last kidding. Night.
So? What are the consequences?
Well, everybody gained. Detroit gained a game on you.
Okay. They're only, what, 10 and a half back now? I think we'll be okay.
What are they back? Seriously.
I don't know. 10 and a half or 9 or something.
Give me 5 minutes. I'll get to it.
8, I think, might be the number.
Well,
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
There's I care.
10 games left. They're not catching us.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's it.
They are 8 back, but in the wild card.
They're 2.5.
They're right there.
1.5.
1.5 behind the Twins. So you did the Twins a favor last night.
Good for us.
And you might have to play the Detroit Tigers.
Half? Might have to play?
I'd be worried if I were you about playing anyone.
Well, I'm not.
What?
Why would I be worried? What's there to worry about? We're in the playoffs. We roll
Jeff,
the ball out and we go play.
We both know you. We both know how you work. You're going to be a nervous wreck when the playoffs start. You'll be worried sick.
If it's Detroit?
No. Yes, if it's Detroit.
Absolutely not.
He'll be facing Scooble.
Not in game one.
Game one.
Not in game one. He'll have already pitched in the wild card series. We might not see him until game three, at which point, ball game.
Boy.
Series over.
The confidence you are trying to exhibit is as false as anything you've ever done.
I beg for the Tigers. Oh, I hope we get to play the Tigers. Or
who
the
would
Twins.
You play right now? The winner of what series?
Twins and Astros.
Well, you'd much rather have the Twins there.
Yeah, but they don't win in the playoffs, so it's going to be Houston, most likely. But you will miss Framber and whoever their other...
Well, you don't know that.
Why would Framber not pitch in the...
You don't know that.
Why would he not pitch in the wild card series?
I don't know when these series start.
Is their manager, trying to get fired?
How much time between them?
None.
This false confidence has got to go.
So you think Houston won't pitch their ace in the wild card series? That's your stance on this show.
Of course they will. But he might be ready to go...
On 2 days rest?
Series.
Well, I hope he is then on 2 days rest. I would welcome that as well. Bring him on.
How come you're so confident now?
Well, I'd love to face
weeks,
a guy on 2 days
ago,
rest. That'd be
were,
awesome.
3 weeks ago, you were done. Like, they're awful. They're going to lose
well,
20
they're
in a row.
Now.
And now all of a sudden, it's a roller coaster.
They can clinch tonight a postseason spot.
Well, of course so, they're in, but to act like, oh, we're in and we're just going to be so good and.
I didn't
You're
say
be
that,
a wreck.
But bring it on.
Bring them
Roll
on.
Them out. Right?
Who worries you in the American League?
The Yankees. Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. That's who worries
Yesterday
me.
Yesterday you were talking down the Yankees.
I was.
Sure you were.
What'd I say?
I don't remember.
I said the rest
detail.
Of their lineup outside of Soto and Judge
there,
hasn't
there
been
you
that
go.
Good.
You answer my question for me.
So what did I just say that negates that?
Well, you said you don't worry that much about their lineup outside of two guys.
And which two guys?
You just said it.
Right. Duda.
Soto and Judge.
Yeah.
That
I think
was
I've
the answer.
Been, I think I've been pretty clear about this. And the Yankees have to get past the Royals or whoever they play.
I'd say that not anyone. Maybe that's too strong. But if you quizzed 100 baseball people, okay? People who follow the game closely. Who would pick, how many would pick the Guardians?
I don't know.
To get to the World Series.
That's the beautiful thing about sports, though. Who somebody picks has no bearing on anything.
Well, I'm just curious. Would it be 80% Yankees?
Maybe.
Would it be 60% Yankees?
Man, I'm too old to concern myself.
20%
with stuff like
Astros?
That. That's the reason I got all the way off Twitter, basically, even with the Guardians account, because people get mad. You didn't put an exclamation point at the end of your recap. The Guardians only 6th in the rank? Who cares? Who cares? We'll settle this on the
when
field.
When did you adopt this attitude of, I'm above the fray.
I'm above that whiny stuff. There's no point to it. There's no need. We settle things. Where, dude?
Do you sense some anger here?
We settle things. I don't get it. Like,
where?
I just don't get it. It's... He couldn't stand him a month ago, and now it's...
Well, they're still...
Yeah, we're good. I mean...
They are. They're going into the playoffs.
What I don't get is...
Other than Soto and Judge, I mean, we're going to win the American League. It's pretty standard.
I don't think I said that.
We got it all figured out.
I don't think I said that.
That's what you're saying without saying it.
No, not at all.
What I don't get is how he now has just washed his hands of any passion, any... it is what it is. We'll play him. I've been in the playoffs a bunch. And it's nerve-wracking.
It's going to be nerve-wracking, but we got to get through three rounds probably. So what's to stress about? We got to get there, first of all.
Remember that. Remember if that line, get, what's to stress
if
about?
If I don't get to the ALCS.
Please. Will you promise me you'll remember that one?
If I don't get to
Andrew.
Can I say something?
Andrew, put that out.
Yeah, you're taking things. You're trying to read into things that I say, but I'll say what I mean. If I'm not in the ALCS, why do I need to worry about the ALCS, right? If I'm not in, if I lose in the ALDS, who cares about the ALCS? So I just got to go win one round, and then I got to go win another round, and then I got to go win another round. That isn't even you.
That's
what, 11 wins I got to get?
You're trying to be something you're not.
I don't think so.
And it's sad.
What do you think I am?
You're hyper. You're into it. You're, oh my gosh, what? Yeah, that's how I would be. I'm not, well, we get the Phillies in round one and let's see what we can do.
You don't get the Phillies in round one.
I don't get anybody.
You know who you get in round one?
Nobody. I just said it.
Palm Beach or wherever you do sports.
Mine was better. I don't get anybody in round one. For the
Noon in round one of the playoffs.
For the, exactly. For the second year in a row.
Enjoy that. It's only two?
Yeah.
You made the playoffs,
in the previous year and got beat by the Phillies. And in game one, I'm at a golf tournament, our League 42 golf tournament. We're up going to the ninth, and we give it up.
Yeah, remember we were watching that, dude?
We were.
Oh, you got great joy out of that, huh?
We were watching it. That's all I said.
We were watching it.
You got great joy out of that, huh?
Some joy out of it. I don't know about great.
Why would you get any joy out of it?
This very reason right here.
Same.
Get you worked up.
And the same reason you're,
why
you're
would
bleeding
that be,
right into it.
Why would that be satisfying?
The same reason you're poking at me right now.
And you don't even, we've said this a million times.
Yeah.
You don't even have a say in this.
Care less.
Because you don't have a team.
I'm good.
Exactly. I'm good. You're good. I go home every night. You sit there in your chair.
I do.
With your eyes rolled back in your head.
Sometimes. What a life.
And that's it.
Hats off.
No emotional investment in anything.
Nothing.
No. Nope.
Except maybe May's tennis and May's JV soccer.
But look at you
but
two.
I doubt.
What about what's you're all fired up? Well, he's
I doubt.
Nothing to be fired up
about
over
here. I doubt that you ever say a word at either event. I doubt.
I don't.
There you go.
I don't.
Why would he?
You wouldn't
want him to, right? That's against the League 42 bylaws.
See, hey, way to go, Jack. Way to go, babe. Here we go, babe.
I don't see dudes doing that.
No. No. I don't think anybody should be talking to the players to say, yeah, good job. Hey, good play. That's fine. But
that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you should instruct him.
Oh, God.
Heaven forbid,
not a chance.
On the rare time, one in a million where somebody scores a goal.
Would you even know how?
You ought to be able to say something about it.
Yeah, good job.
Would you even know how to instruct him if you could?
Soccer?
Yeah.
Tennis?
Yeah.
No.
Not really.
Well, wait a minute now. You've seen enough soccer. Well,
I have an idea, but
you ought to have
here's
learned
the thing.
Something.
I'm not going to say anything because you got the coach on the other side who he's supposed to be listening to. So there's zero point for anybody else to say anything because now you're just confusing them. And why would you want to do
right.
that to your kid? Why would you want to tell him something if the coach is telling them one other thing?
Well, you don't do that.
All he's thinking now is, okay, I'm going to make somebody mad. Like, so you don't. You just don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
But you can accentuate what
you
the coach
cheer.
Is saying.
Well, yeah, you can't hear what the coach is saying. He's on the other side of the field.
I'm talking about after, like at home. The coach had a good thought there.
Yeah.
It depends.
That's gross.
That is kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
Get back
to
Jeff.
Much.
No.
You trying to get back to me?
Here's what we have planned for the show today. We're going to take a little early break because we lost a guy who's near and dear to us, John David Souther, passed away. Now, that won't mean a thing to you, will it?
Well, if someone passed away, I don't like but I don't know the man.
He's a friend of the Eagles.
Okay.
And helped them very early in their existence, co-wrote some of their biggest hits. And he passed away at the age of 78. And we're going to play one of his most famous song as a solo artist coming up at about 2:16. Andrew's going to have that queued up. At 2:25, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Chiefs week, they got a big one again. They go on the road for the first time. And we'll talk to Jesse Newell about the Chiefs and their prospect Sunday in Atlanta against the Falcons team, which is, I don't think you can completely chalk that one up as a win for the Chiefs.
No, you can chalk it up as a loss. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Atlanta coming back the other night. So never mind, continue.
What were you about to say?
Where were you going with that?
Well, you were going to say I don't think you could chalk it up as a win.
For the Chiefs.
And I thought you were going to say Atlanta. And I was going to agree with you because Philadelphia gave that one away.
But I said the Chiefs before you said Atlanta.
I don't pay attention to you guys a lot.
Not very often.
You know, I kind of pick and choose where I'm at because if not,
Well, you were looking right at me when I said it.
I get on that roller coaster ride you guys are on with your teams and I don't like it. I like a flat road through the prairies.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Just keep it there, and I'm good. Just go. Simple.
I'm sorry, but I can't be as simple as you would like me to be.
Did you read my J.D. Souther piece on KWCH?
Did not. I don't. You got to send this stuff to me.
Well, it gets out there.
I'm not going in search on KWCH for content.
Maybe you should.
Do you put it on Twitter?
It's on Facebook.
Well, it needs to be out there.
It is. I put it on an Eagles message board. I put it on KWCH. I put it on Facebook. Just go read the stuff, man.
Well, you act like I'm just sitting here.
Well, you should know that.
Waiting for you to drop something for me to read.
Well, if you know that J.D.
Souther. You understand what I'm saying?
I do on this.
If you know that J.D. Souther has passed away, you should know that also I'm going to probably pin something.
What do you know about J.D. Souther?
What don't I know about J.D. Souther?
And it's not Souther.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It's Souther.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
Of course it's not.
Do you know how many times I've dealt with this man?
You have not. It's J.D. Souther.
Don't you remember when he was on 30-something? Do you think they introduced him as J.D. Souther?
That's his name, so I don't know what they introduced him as.
Well, go get on YouTube and watch the intros. Maybe you'll learn something. Good grief.
Souther. Give me a break.
Yeah, Souther.
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 No, you just said it right.
Souther.
See? It's J.D. Souther.
Anyway, we'll play his big hit coming up in a few minutes.
Why don't you tell him what it is? You're Only Lonely.
You're Only Lonely. Everybody knows that song. You'll know it the minute you hear it.
Good song.
It got two.
Number 10, I believe.
Number 7 on the charts. Number 1 in the adult contemporary. The year it was released in
1979.
Well, you got one. What do you have to offer right now
in this conversation about this singer?
What's his name? What do you think his name is?
I honestly don't know.
But if you had
between the two of you,
who do you think would be right about something like this?
At 2:45, Pop Culture with Mike Furchus. Mike's been to see a horror movie that he just loves. Which isn't exactly up your
I don't like horror
up movies. Your alley.
Nope.
Not
but,
a fan.
We'll see what he has to say about all that. So you texted me the other night, last week. Now do we have a JV game tomorrow night? Did we have one yesterday?
Yeah, there was one yesterday.
How'd that go? You didn't text me.
They lost 5-3.
Uh oh, a lot of goals.
A lot of goals.
Who'd they play?
Oh no, they lost 2-1. Varsity was 5-3 there.
Oh yeah, well.
And then well, it's confusing because I was at a tennis tournament, so I wasn't there.
Who'd they play?
Andover.
And how'd Avery's tennis tournament go?
She won her tournament.
Well, good for her.
That was just a 4-team tournament. She did well. She's playing. I gotta give the girl props. She tore a ligament in her ankle.
Goodness.
And she's playing through it. She comes home, and her leg is twice the size of the other one.
But well, she's tough. She's got tough. I'm proud of her toughness.
That's right.
You'd have missed a year with this kind of an injury.
And then we got a game tomorrow.
Who's that one against?
Well, isn't that the game you're coming to?
No, I'm coming on the 10th of October.
Oh, that's right.
I'm coming to the Mays South Showdown.
That's a big one.
I think it's Newton.
Newton. Well, look out. They'll probably clobber you.
Nice talk. Like, come on. Talking about the kids here. Jeez.
How mean of me. Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, who joins us quite often, and we're very appreciative to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. He's the beat writer for the Star. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. So the Chiefs are 2-0 by the skin of their teeth. Two exciting games to open the season. Wins against Baltimore and Cincinnati. Some grumbling about how close these games have been. The mantra in the NFL is just win, and they've done that. That's the important thing, right?
Yeah, not only have they won, but they knocked off two opponents that are probably going to be at the top of the AFC, you know, come the end of the season, or two of the top, you know, rivals that they've had here in the last couple of years. The last two teams they played in the AFC Championship game over the last three AFC Championship games. So, yeah, it's a good tiebreaker to have. It's a good thing to have those wins on lock. And, listen, you don't need any more evidence than going back to last year to show that you don't have to have things figured out until the playoffs. I mean, the Chiefs certainly didn't have things figured out on Christmas last year, and that still ended up in the Super Bowl victory. So, yeah, I mean, most important thing is 2-0 right now. There's obviously some concerns. Obviously, some things to fix, but if you can do that and win games at the same time, that's the ideal scenario to have.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Chiefs. You never really know. Well, you never worry in general. I guess we've learned that over the last 5 years or so. They're going to put it together by the end of the season. I guess if this were a team other than the Chiefs, would we worry that you know, you don't get Hollywood Brown likely for a long time, maybe the entire regular season at least, and Pacheco's out. Would there be reason to worry if this was someone other than the Chiefs?
Probably. And I mean, I think this also sort of speaks to what the Chiefs have become, right? I mean, the Bengals, they probably should have won the game last week, you know, like they held Patrick Mahomes to his lowest passing total of his career in a full game. You know, if he had one less than that, that's when he left with injury against the Broncos, I believe, was the one game lower than his career. You know, they forced turnovers against the Chiefs. The Chiefs, you know, struggled in the red zone. And you add all those things up, and you're like, oh, the Bengals should have won this game. The Bengals didn't win the game. And that's the sort of confidence, you know, I've heard like Travis Kelce talk about on his podcast today, you know, saying, like, there's just a kind of a confidence level that the team has with Patrick Mahomes in the huddle that they're going to figure this thing out in the end, and that they believe that they're going to make the plays at the end of games to win games. And so it's a good place to be in with that. But as we know, the NFL, the best way to win close games is to not have close games. And so if the Chiefs could put a few more plays together early on, they wouldn't have to rely upon some Mahomes magic and converting on a 4th-and-16 to get them out of a bind like they did late last game. So obviously lots of things to look at there. But if you're the Chiefs, you're in a great scenario, which is, like I said, you're winning these games, you feel confident in these games, and at the end of the day, you're 2-0.
I'm going to have to run that statement about the best way to win close games is not to have close games through Jason Duda. Duda, do you feel that's a – did you understand that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You, Jesse.
Oh, jeez. Jesse, you know, you were talking about scoring points, and obviously Pacheco's out now. Really, they only got Steele and Samaje Perine back there. And did you ever think that you would ever see a Kareem Hunt sighting back in Kansas City? And then how do you think this running back room is going to go on from here?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy to see him at practice today out there with the guys. And it is weird how time moves on, too, because, you know, being around this area, it doesn't feel like Kareem Hunt was all that long ago with the Chiefs, but it was 2018. And so now he's 29 years old, which for a running back, I mean, that's sort of your last leg in the NFL nowadays. So, yeah, there was a lot of things that had to be forgiven for him to come back to the Chiefs, even with ownership, Clark Hunt, where they met with Kareem Hunt, asked him about the off-field incident, and he basically, they said lied to him, lied to them about it. And That led to his release in 2018 after, you know, video surfaced that he had kicked and shoved a woman in a hotel. So, you know, time moves on. Obviously, there's been some forgiveness on both sides of this thing for him to be back in Kansas City. As far as the rotation goes, I mean, that's the ultimate fantasy football question, isn't it? Like, Andy Reid said today that, you know, they're hoping to get Pacheco back. He's obviously going to do everything he can to get back, but he said he wasn't sure if it's going to be this season or next season. So, I mean, this is not a short-term injury for the Chiefs, and for Andy Reid to even start with that to basically say there's a possibility that, that Isaiah Pacheco won't return this year, that's obviously a concern for the Chiefs. But I think this is how it goes. Carson Steele, the running back, the rookie fullback that they had, who ran so well in the preseason, he fumbled last week, did a little bit to kind of break the trust of the Chiefs. I still think he's getting the first carry. He's got the first opportunity. It's kind of the workhorse type load that Pacheco was taking on. Samaje Perine was brought in as a third down back to catch it out of the backfield, maybe give him a few more carries, but I still think that's the primary role that you want for him. He's an older guy too. And then you see how this week goes. I mean, I think best case scenario for the Chiefs is that Carson Steele doesn't fumble this game and proves that he can be kind of the tackle breaking machine he was in the preseason. And if so, I think he has way more juice than what Kareem Hunt does at 29 years old. But Kareem Hunt is on the roster kind of in case. He's the security blanket there because they know him, they know what he can do, they feel like they can rely on him. And so I think this is a huge week for Carson Steele. I think he can take this job and run with it, or if he fumbles again, he could basically play his way off the roster. So this is a big moment for him in early in his NFL career. We'll see how he does with it.
Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Stars. We catch up on the Chiefs. They are Atlanta this Sunday night, right? The Sunday night game. In Atlanta. I want to ask you about Travis Kelce. You mentioned his podcast. He's all over the place again. He's become such a celebrity. His relationship with Taylor Swift continues to flourish. He's 35 years old, and he's off to a slow start on the football field. He said today he owns it. What do you think about the future on the football field as a Chief for Travis Kelce? Again, it's ridiculous to write these people off. They've shown us before you never write the Chiefs off. But how do you feel about Travis Kelce at this point?
It's a really tough one because nobody has been as productive as a tight end as he has at his age in NFL history. So really, you're talking about 1-of-1. Like what he did last year, we just got short of 1,000 yards. Nobody at age 34 as a tight end gets that many yards, you know, in NFL history, like Travis Kelce. I mean, he is kind of the exception to the rule. And so you wonder at some point, you know, father time comes for us all. And at some point, it's not going to work as well anymore. But as you talk about, Bob, I mean, last year, we were kind of at that point late in the season when it really trailed off. He took the week off in week 18 against the Chargers and then came back in the playoffs and looked as good as he had maybe in a couple years. And you know, some of the next-gen stat sprint speeds, he had that sprint speed in the Super Bowl, that pass he caught that was like his fastest movement in 8 years of playing. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. You know, rewatching some of the film and hearing Andy Reid talk about it, the first Patrick Mahomes interception that he had in the game was because Mahomes and Travis Kelce were not on the same page. And again, that's not something we're used to saying with Mahomes and Kelce, is that they're not on the same page. We're usually saying that they are just completing all these passes because they are on the same page. And so it worries me a little bit. I mean, he obviously has lost some of his speed. He's lost some of his elusiveness. So some of this athletic ability stuff is just not going to come back. But if he's not connecting with Mahomes or having that connection like he normally does intellectually, that is a bit of a concern. And there was a stat out there. I think he'd gone 114 straight games with at least three catches, and that was broken last week. And so, you don't write guys off, but I am concerned at least with the production he's had so far, just because if he was still 30 years old, you could definitely see a path out of this. But at 35, in his age 35 season, things have to go right for him to be productive at his age and at, you know, what he's able to do with his body. And right now, you know, those things aren't clicking, and his production is definitely down. The other thing he might have to be worried about is Rashee Rice is going to take some of these targets too, because he's looked so good early on the season and can run those same sorts of tough intermediate routes as well. So, I would be a little bit concerned about Travis Kelce at this point. But like I said, you can't just say that it's not going to happen, because we saw last year, just when it looked like he was about to dip in production, he came back with a vengeance in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll flip to the other side of that coin, which is kind of the off the field stuff for Travis Kelce. We're 7 months removed now from him screaming at Andy Reid on the sideline about his usage, and today or yesterday, whenever he spoke, he talked about I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm kind of just chill and laid back now. I'm going to kind of work through it. What does that represent to you? Because that's not something you'd usually hear out of Travis Kelce. We know he's got the A-list relationship, the $100 million podcast now. Do you think the off-field life is grabbing him a little harder now?
Well, there's no doubt it's grabbing him harder. I don't think it's impacting his on-field stuff because, again, we saw this last year with him. I mean, there's really nothing different what he's doing this year than what happened last year, right? He was still dating Taylor Swift then. It was probably a little bit more of a media boom then. It's getting a little bit more used to it now. He still had the podcast then. It was exploding and taking time with his brother Jason to do that every single week. I think if anything, it's opened his eyes to his life outside of football and what's going to happen afterwards. But we heard him talk in training camp, you know, about this exact topic. Like, hey, you know, a week ago you were going on the Taylor Swift Eras Tour in Europe in 5-star hotels, and now you're sitting in a dorm room in St. Joseph, Missouri. You know, like, that's got to be a jarring difference to have to come back to that. And he then basically said, look, this is what I love to do. Football is what I love to do. And this is my sanctuary. He used the word sanctuary when he talked about football. So I still fully think it's something he loves, fully think it's something he's committed to. And I do think, to his credit, like, at this point in his career, he's one of the rare guys. I don't think the stats really bother him that much. Like, he'd love to get catches. He'd love to get touchdowns. All football players do. But, like, I think he wants to win, and you've seen that unselfishness with the Chiefs kind of permeate not only with him but with Patrick Mahomes as well, that these guys will do what it takes to win, you know, in favor of their own personal stats. So I think it's a good place to be in, and I don't question his commitment when it comes to football. I think he loves football. I think he's dedicated to it. I just think at a certain point, you know, when guys are getting younger and younger in the league and you're getting older and older, things have got to go perfect for you to be productive like you were back in the day, and right now things aren't going perfectly for him. Plus, you're seeing a guy like Rashee Rice step into a role who's young and strong and physical and able to be elusive, you know, in the open field. And when the Chiefs are kind of scheming some of these routes, they would be crazy not to use Rashee Rice on some of these routes that they've been using Kelce on for so long.
Yeah, and then obviously Rashee Rice, and then Xavier Worthy, you know, comes out and has 3 touchdowns in the first week. How much more are they going to get him involved, especially with Kelce, like we've been talking? Let's just be honest, he's 35 years old. At that age, playing a position like tight end, you're not going to be productive anymore. But he can do a lot of little things that are going to be a little bit better and open things up for some other guys on the field. So who do you think those guys would be?
Yeah, no, you make a great point there, because, you know, we were going through some film, and the Chiefs really dominated the first half running football. You know, Cincinnati was playing 2 safeties back. They don't have a great defensive line. They had a guy, defensive tackle, get hurt, and some of these runs that we were going over, me and Brett Tavo, we do a video up on the Kansas City Star website every week. You can find it on YouTube or on my Twitter page. But some of these runs we were talking about, Travis Kelce is blocking off the backside. You know what I mean? And he's getting physical with guys on the edge and making sure that the hole is there. And so, yeah, there are still things that he can do to make this a winning football team and to help out teammates, just as you spoke about. Xavier Worthy is in the same boat. You know, there was one of those running plays where Xavier Worthy goes in motion, the linebacker flows with him, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have 5-on-5 in the run game with blockers. And when one of your blockers is Creed Humphrey and another one's Trey Smith, you're probably going to win that battle. So this really is, I mean, it's a complimentary game. You know, you are going to help out other guys with what you do, and Xavier Worthy just being out there is going to help other guys. I want you guys to go back, and he had an end around the other day. I think he went for 5 or 7 yards. It's basically the same play he scored on first week, and I think he made the wrong cut. I think if he cuts behind Creed Humphrey on that play, he might score again. It would have been like a 50-yard touchdown. But, again, these are some of the small things. You live and learn as a rookie. You kind of read angles of blocks and see what you can do. But these guys are – it's crazy with the Chiefs, because no team pays its stars more than the Chiefs. You know, they pay Chris Jones. They pay Travis Kelce. They pay Patrick Mahomes. You know, they pay Creed Humphrey, all these guys. So they have guys performing at a really high level. And then you've got a bunch of guys that are really experienced, because you've got to fill in the rest of your roster with young players. And so they kind of have this old team that they know what's going on, who are trying to develop some of the young players at the same time. So usually by the end of the season, Andy Reid gets this thing rolling. But right now, I think some of those things just aren't quite in place yet, and we'll see if that develops over time.
All right, final comment and then your response. The NFL schedule is it's almost – ludicrous to try to predict anything before the season starts. Obviously, wins against Baltimore and Cincinnati are huge, but then we thought there would be a little reprieve in this Chiefs schedule. As it turns out, however, going to Atlanta, playing the Chargers at home, a home game against New Orleans, at San Francisco, at Las Vegas, at home against Tampa Bay, that's a pretty formidable schedule coming up.
It's looking a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Especially with, like, for instance, the Saints now looking like maybe one of the best offenses in the NFL with a new offensive coordinator in Kubiak, who actually, I covered him, I'm getting old, I covered him as the receivers coach under David Beatty at Kansas, of all places, and now he's a high-flying offensive coordinator of the Saints. But, you know, you're right, Bob. I mean, this thing is going to be difficult week in, week out, and we know the margin for error in these sort of professional sports is really small. You've seen it the last couple weeks, you know, a toe on 1 week, and then, you know, a 50-whatever-yard field goal or a 4th-and-16 pass interference away from losing a game the next week. But, yeah, this schedule is shaping up a lot more difficult than what it looked like 3 or 4 weeks ago. But we know what the Chiefs are and what they normally have been over the course of these past few seasons, is that Andy Reid consistently pumps out those double-digit wins and consistently gets himself, his team ready for, what's come in the playoffs. So it seems like they're trending that direction. And if you had a team to pick out of the AFC, I mean, right now to me it looks like the Chiefs and Bills would still be kind of at the top there. It's been that way for many years, along with the Ravens, and it's probably going to end up that way this year again as well.
Always good stuff, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star breaking down little Chiefs. Here's our friend Mike Furches joining us. We're going to spend a little time with Mike catching up on his journeys, to borrow this first song we played.
Journey.
Stay with us, man.
Because it's a band.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I was just thinking about taking Tony on a Tears for Fears marathon.
Well, you're on a marathon right now with ELO, and by everything I've read online, almost everything, there was a couple of things I read early on that Jeff Lynn was struggling with his health and looked slow, but I only read that early on. It seems like he's past that. How have you enjoyed the Electric Light Orchestra?
Well, you know, I think we talked about that but not in detail. This go around since seeing the show, I hate to say, I would tend to agree that his age, that he is struggling from who he used to be. I thought the St. Louis and the Indianapolis slow show, it was ELO. So you're seeing the band you love, but they can't do nothing wrong. You just realize they're getting older. The Cleveland show was great. He sounded good. He looked good. And so, you know, my wife and I were talking. We wondered almost if he had had a bug or what was going on. But he sounded great and looked great in Cleveland. And the show was I've got a buddy that works for the Light and Sound Company, Greg, and that's doing the shows for a lot of the tours. And there are different shows that there has to be, because you can't play St. Louis one night and Toronto the next night and then Cleveland the next night and have the same stage setup. So the stage setup in Cleveland was magnificent and was really good. And one gets quickly reminded why they are the legends that they are, and, you know, the sadness of the fact that I genuinely believe this will be the last tour that ELO does, and we'll probably close out with a big show in Wembley where they'll sell it out. So, but what a time. We live in a – and Jeff, I understand this, and you will as well, Bob – to live in a time where we...
What about Duda? Will he understand it?
No.
Duda's Duda, man.
What are you guys talking about anyway?
In regards to sports, it's great to see the things you love, you know, and I'm convinced after seeing ELO that I'll see him at least one more time in Dallas. I'd like to see him in Inglewood for their last show, but the tickets for that's going to be astronomical. And
Mike,
Mike's not finished.
He's finished. Mike, I don't think I believe in last tours anymore. I think you go till you're done. You just go until you can't do it anymore. There's no reason. The Eagles announced the last tour, and they seemingly have abandoned it to go play in Vegas for 4 months. So I don't know if I believe in, hey, this is our last. You just you're done when you're done.
I think that ELO is Jeff Lynne. Jeff Lynn has a history of not caring that much about being in the public eye. You don't do meet and greets or visits with Jeff Lynn on this tour. And he's Donnie Harris. I got to speak with Donnie Harrison on his last tour. And the way he said it, Jeff's kind of anal and he don't like to change things. And I can see that. I've read a couple of books on him since then. I've got another one I'm planning on reading. But he's a little bit different kind of character, Jeff. You don't ever see him do very many interviews. He's not looking for the spotlight. He's made the contribution he's made. And I genuinely think that because of his health, it will be his last tour. He doesn't look good. He's using a prompter for a show. You know, there's all of that. And they're not doing anything new. All of the songs are old songs. So they're not doing anything probably over the last 20 years. Everything else has been prior to the 20 years that they're doing in concert. And it's still a jam-packed, fun concert. And the crowd, the floor, is on their feet the whole show. And every stadium was packed. And that's kind of a cool thing, too, to get to see their various stadiums. I mean, I texted you guys at Cleveland and got to see some of the Guardians play. It was, you know, it's really kind of cool. It's a beautiful – it's 300 feet away from each other, from the arena to the
Guardians. As I told you, I hope ELO woke you up after that experience.
See, just a hater, Mike. That's all he is.
So most people in that field all year.
here we go.
Stop it. They didn't play the baseball stadium, you morons.
For the moment, I was,
go ahead, Mike.
For the moment I was there, Jeff, I was a Guardian fan. It's a beautiful,
thank you,
beautiful stadium. So
it sure is.
Who's the band that just disbanded?
REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, because they're two of their guys weren't getting along. Yeah. that floored me. I mean, we can't stand each other anymore. We're done. Isn't that something? Yeah. I was astounded by that.
And then Jane's Addiction fought on stage, and they're done now.
Right.
the James Addiction thing was crazy. I saw that. That was just absolute. The lead singer just decides to attack the guitar player because he's playing lead over his vocals. And that was crazy. So
that's unbelievable. Like
there's nothing like that to expect with ELO. Nor Tears for Fears tour. Those two guys probably get along.
You never know at their age anymore. Yeah.
What do you have, Duda? Yeah.
Who's a bigger fan, Mike? And I can ask you, and you'll give an honest opinion. You for ELO or Jeff for the Eagles?
What about me for the Eagles?
Don't go to any concerts or anything anymore. He travels all over the place, and you're not involved in this question.
What about me for the Eagles?
Again, Mike, you for ELO or Jeff for the Eagles? Because I think Jeff's a bigger fan of the Eagles than Bob.
I would tend to agree with that, Duda. Although Bob is a tremendous fan of the Eagles, it's you know, the Eagles have a history with Jeff, and ELO has a real history with me that goes back to the time I was a teenager, and I literally remember the first time I ever saw them play on Don Kirshner's Midnight Special, playing the song Roll Over Beethoven, and I had been engaged in a few things I shouldn't have, and I will never forget that performance. It was the single most amazing rock and roll performance that I had ever seen, and it never left me. And I've been in love with them ever since.
Can I get in here to defend myself?
You got nothing. Here we go.
Unbelievably asinine comment, really by all three of you.
What did I say?
Here's what I'm going to say.
You're just here.
When the Eagles broke out in 1972, Jeff wasn't even in my mind. In fact, earlier that day I said, are you kidding me? I'm never going to have a kid.
We all wish you hadn't.
So from 1972 to 1980, when I hadn't even thought about Jeff, Jeff wasn't even a thought.
Not even a thought?
No.
Not one.
That's when the Eagles were the Eagles, and they were putting out new music, new records. I was first in line to buy them. I saw them all the time. I was gung-ho. Now, Jeff jumped along in 1994.
94?
Hey, Dad, they're putting 94. The band together again.
Give me a break, 94.
That's
how
when
about
you
82?
First saw them, okay?
Okay, well, that's the first time I could see them. But don't act like I was like, the Eagles? Who are they?
And then, you know, they put out one new record since then.
Thank you.
And I was an Eagles fan when they were the Eagles. I'll just say that.
Mike, defend me.
Well, your dad's been a fan since before you were born, and that's hard to argue with. But you've been to 50-plus shows. That says something. And I can relate to that because I'll be going to see ELO as much as I can afford and have somebody to go with me. I don't like going to concerts by myself, which is kind of ironic. But
Jeff doesn't mind.
I don't mind.
Yeah. He'll just stand there like a moron. There, boy, way to go, Don.
Pretty much, yeah.
Let's get to something else.
One thing about that is that you can afford better seats if you go by yourself, I can say.
Exactly.
Let's get to something else. You've touted a new movie that's out from the horror genre, and Jeff Norduda really likes that. I'm on board. It's called Say No Evil. Tell us why that movie spoke to you.
Well, it's a psychological thriller. And horror. There's no monster. The monster's in it is this guy that's basically, I don't want to give too much away. There's a guy in it that's the horror character. And it kind of follows in line with some of the older shows about someone breaks into your house or you get in with the wrong people. This is the honest goodness movie. Of all the movies I've ever seen, ever, it's the first time ever in the theater that I yelled out loud, yeah, yeah. And stood up and started clapping. And I was watching,
wow.
I was reading the Roger Ebert review today, and it's saying that's happening all across the country, that people in the movie are literally clapping and yelling during the movie. And I won't tell you, I don't want to give anything away, but it is one of the best horror genre films, acting, everything about it that has come out, and it's believable. I'm sitting here right now, Bob, I'm saying that. God is my witness. I've got goosebumps popping up all over my arm because it's so believable. It's so believable.
It's called Say No Evil, by the way.
Who's in it?
James McAvoy is the main character.
Yeah. It's scary as AT double hockey sticks. And
I got to see it.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. This is one that you don't have to, because I think it's important for people to know. This is one you won't have to see at the theaters. I think it's a better experience for the sound and visuals. But it will be just as good on television, maybe even better on a Friday night at home with the lights turned off. It might even be better than in the theater. So,
let me tell you something. Good. If I'm at home on Friday night with the lights turned off, me and the wife are fooling around. Let me just say that.
Dump. Can I say a bad word so we can eliminate
this? Somewhere.
What's wrong with you guys? You appreciate love?
TMI. I'll have to talk to you about doing that, but it's TMI.
It is. Thank you.
All right, go ahead. Ask your...
Mike, did you watch Baby Reindeer?
Yes, I did.
Why?
We've talked about that. Why did I watch it?
It sucks.
When I first heard about all the hype, I wanted to watch it because I'd heard about all the hype. And then I watched it because of all the hype. And when I finished watching it, I thought, man, I don't know. That's kind of what I thought, man, I just don't know. And then I started doing research. And here's all I'll say. Netflix kind of has a lousy history of getting the facts straight. And, I mean, the recent stories about the lawsuits and so forth that's taken place because of the movie. I suspect, mark it down, tell me if I'm wrong later on, I suspect Netflix is going to settle that case out of court. And there's believable things in it, things that happen, but there's so much in that movie that in reality never happened. And, you and Bob or Duda especially can probably talk about someone stalking him more than we can because
I
enjoyed that show, and it cleaned up at the Emmys. So,
Is it a movie? I don't know.
It's a mini show thing, 7 episodes. Just save your time
For a series.
No, absolutely not.
I think it's a good TV show. I just don't know if I'd be so quick to put it in the classification of nonfiction. But it's
I don't know what
it's good.
Well, the guy involved in it is the guy behind it, so I don't know. But we'll get to that later.
I didn't like him at all.
Well, I don't care what you liked anymore.
We're talking about it. He was not a likable person or character.
Well, there you go.
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Let me ask, you got anything?
I was curious if you saw the Beetlejuice movie.
Of course. I heard horrible things.
How was it? I'm not a Beetlejuice fan, but my wife and daughter want to go watch it, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, movies like that, dude, I usually see them prior to opening. I see them the night before, 2 days before opening. But did see it, and you know, my personal belief is I thought it was a fair and an adequate sequel to the original. Michael Keaton was good as always, and it's not a great movie. I don't think it was ever intended to be, but it kind of goes back to the – it's kind of like the old Disney horror stuff. It kind of plays like that. It's not a Disney film, but it kind of plays like an old Disney horror or almost a Ghost of Mr. Chicken horror. There's some good, funny moments to it, and there's pretty good special effects to it as well. So I thought it was entertaining and worth seeing. I won't pay to see it again, but it was worth seeing.
Well, it's actually gotten better reviews than I just read some terrible things about it. Who knows? That last question for you, Mike. Walnut Valley Festival, which is in Winfield, obviously, it's happening. Or the festival that you mentioned to me when we talked earlier today, the Valley Center Carnival Fall Festival. Which one would you prefer?
Oh, boy. Well, I'd go to one on Friday night and another one on Saturday night. The Walnut Valley Festival, I used to camp out there, so there's a lot of special memories at that festival that I love it. And that festival, what I'd do, Bob, is I'd go to this is seriously what I think I might do. I'd go to the Valley Center Festival or get together fall gathering because it's a blast. To me, last time I went, last year, I enjoyed it as much as the State Fair. It's just that they do a fantastic job for their community. I would go there for that, and then after it was over, then I'd drive down to Winfield because, for me, the fun thing about Winfield are the campgrounds, not the main stage. The main stages are okay, but visiting the campgrounds at 3 a.m. and playing music is an amazing experience. So that's what I would do.
All right. Always good, Mike, to catch up with you. We'll get in touch next week. Are you on the road here to see ELO this week?
No, I'm at home. I'm taking a week and enjoying it and getting some things around the house done. So I'm at home. Thanks for until Dallas. I'll be going to Dallas, but I'm at home until then.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a good one.
Mike Furches, every Wednesday, for the most part.